A number of years ago now, while I was teaching school in Germany, a group of us decided to sign up for a trip to Egypt. Just a few days before we were to leave, the hotel in Cairo experienced a fair amount of damage from a fire. Fortunately, we were able to book into another hotel just down the street. Although this new hotel was only partially completed, it was certainly much more luxurious than the one we had experienced. The inner courtyard had an amazing pool made of marble, with the mirror-like surface of the water reaching the top edges of the pool. It was like a picture from a travel magazine. Fairly close to this eye-catching scene was a woman, a small, ageless woman, sitting quietly on the ground. She was busy working away, making bread for the workmen and those that happened by. In front of her was a dome, a stone and mud oven. I remember standing there and watching in awe as she worked away in the heat of the day. There was a peacefulness about the scene, and yet such a contrast. An ultra-modern hotel alongside of what could have been a scene from biblical times. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Let us pray. O Holy One, in a weekend filled with such sorrow, speak to us. In the beating of our hearts, in the stirring of our spirits, speak to us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When Jesus spoke to his disciples and those who gathered round him, it was with words and images and stories to which they could easily relate, things that they could easily remember. In today's scripture, he uses the image of bread. For generations, bread had been the principal food that they ate. Sometimes the dough would simply be laid on heated stones, or baked in a hole in the ground, or even in the great stone pitcher used as an oven. There were times when the bread would be baked in a public oven, and the women would take their turns in putting their bread in. But for many, bread held a sacred meaning, from the sowing of the seeds to the baking of the loaves. And this sacredness meant never putting a knife to the bread, but rather gently breaking it into pieces to be shared. Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples. It was to those who grew up in the sacredness of the bread that Jesus first spoke, "I am the bread of life." When Jesus said this, he had just finished the feeding of the 5,000. And as Barbara Brown Taylor says, the people were amazed and they stuck to him like glue. The miracle of the loaves reminded them of the story from the Old Testament, the story of the manna, and they wanted more. They wanted miracle after miracle after miracle. They wanted what they expected. They were not really looking for a relationship with this ordinary-looking man, even though that was exactly what Jesus was offering. A relationship with God, a reminder of God's presence with them and with us. For Jesus was living in a world that saw a great deal of friction, a great deal of sorrow, a world where many had lost hope. People fought among themselves, which only increased by the oppressive rule of Rome. Riots were common. Tension was increasing. Jesus came in the darkness of the night to give hope, to remind them that God is with them, that God walks with them, no matter how dark it may be, no matter where the darkness comes from. In the book of John, Jesus uses the term "I am" many times. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. Each of the I ams represents a particular way of being, a relationship. And for us as Christians, Jesus is the light in the darkness. He is the shepherd that guides us. He is the bread of life. And he wants his followers, past, present, and future, to recognize that God provides for them, and for all of us, gives us what we need, some bread, some love, some breath, some hope. God gives us a relationship with this ordinary man who came to bring life to the world. Their job and ours is to remain open to this relationship, a relationship that will indeed bring strength and love. Last Sunday, I shared a story about a young man, Frank. As it was for the children, I left out a few of the details. Frank was about 20 when World War II broke out. Like many of his friends and neighbors, he enlisted, and he crossed the ocean ready to face what lie ahead. After landing on one of the many beaches along the coast of France, Frank and his fellow Allied troops made their way through France and eventually ended up in Luxembourg. Frank remembers that day that they were walking through a small village, and a woman, a stranger, opened her door and welcomed them in. In the midst of the war, in the midst of great loss, this woman, a stranger to them all, knew that they needed the simple act of breaking bread with fellow humans in a peaceful setting. They needed this to bring comfort, to bring them a small piece of community, to bring them strength in a difficult time. It was a gift, simple and yet so symbolic. On Friday morning, Fredericton awoke to the unbelievable. Roads were blocked, sirens filled the air, shots were fired. And then we heard 4 killed, including 2 police officers. The city stood in shock, waiting. 2 dedicated police officers committed to protecting us. 2 civilians killed. Constable Robert Costello, 45, a 20-year veteran of the force who worked on various teams throughout his career, the father of 4, a man who had such a positive, cheerful attitude and was always, always thinking of others. Constable Sarah Burns, 43, a stay-at-home mom for over 14 years as she raised her 3 boys and then headed off to PEI to fulfill her lifelong dream and become a police officer. Not a day would go by when she didn't say aloud for everyone to hear, "I love my job." Donnie Robichaud, 42, a Fredericton musician and father of 2. And Bobby Lee Wright, 32, of whom we know very little at this point, but also from Fredericton. How could this happen? How can this happen in Fredericton? Questions have been asked in Moncton, Toronto, London. Questions have been asked in schools, in university, in places of worship, in churches, synagogues, and mosques. Questions have been asked over and over again. And yet, in the midst of this incredible loss, the words of hope and love and strength and community have been said many times, and have been said here in Fredericton many times over the past couple of days. As I sat at my computer the last 2 days, I became overwhelmed. Like the entire city and beyond our boundaries, our hearts were filled with tears. I see the faces of those amazing and dedicated police officers, those two civilians that had found such happiness in each other. I saw them over and over again. And I think of their families and the young man accused of shooting and his family. Then I picked up the bread. I held it. I began to remember some of the words that I have already committed to paper. I closed my eyes, and I thought of the world into which Jesus was born, a world filled with darkness into which he brought light. I picked up a book published by the United Church, celebrating God's presence, where we are reminded that throughout Jesus' ministry, he ate at the table with friends and strangers alike, with the outcasts, with men, with women, with children. Jesus used the table as a symbol, an image of inclusivity, of hospitality, of community, a symbol of God's sign of grace and presence in our lives. The brokenness in our world is lifted up in the bread broken and shared. Angela DeFranco, a singer-songwriter, wrote, I know there is strength in the differences between us, but I also know that there is comfort where we overlap. As a community of faith, as a larger community embracing us all, Fredericton will find comfort in where we overlap. One hand stretched out will touch the hand of another, bringing comfort to those grieving the loss of a loved one, to the members of the Fredericton Police Force, to the first responders, to those who witnessed this tragedy, and comfort will slowly, slowly be spread across the city. Mother Teresa said, I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples. This community has begun to create the many ripples. When Jesus stood among the people, he continually reminded them that they were not alone in life, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm going to invite the congregation to remain seated and the choir to stand.